Joining us on the line this morning, we've got Senator Sherrod Brown. Good morning, Sherrod. How are you?
Gentlemen, good. Thank you both.
All right, let me just get your primetime notice here.
Sherrod Brown says it's time to bury the label Rust Belt. It's time.
There you go, from the State of the Union that President Biden gave this last week. Were you aware of any of that acknowledgement might be taking place?
Well, I was there, and somebody said from the White House, you know, you're the only senator whose name he's going to mention in a speech, and I really had no idea what he was talking about. I knew he liked the term, because I used that term with him when we flew out to, with Senator Portman and Secretary Armando, and I flew out to Columbus for the Intel announcement. That's when I first said it, and I knew President Biden liked the term, but I really had no idea he was going to do that, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Have you ever had a president give you a shout-out during a State of the Union?
Never at a State of the Union. I think that's something I would have remembered if he had. So,
absolutely.
No, well, so it was cool.
Nice to get sort of the acknowledge on that.
But I liked what, you know, the thing about the speech that people really noticed, that it was kind of an Ohio speech. And I know there's several people at the White House that have worked in my office or have Ohio ties. And I don't know how much influence they had on the speech, but I know President Biden's been to Ohio lots and lots and lots of times as vice president, as a candidate, and I know he has a special feeling for Ohio. He's kind of an Ohio guy. I mean, where he grew up in Pennsylvania, could be Elyria for that matter. I mean, Scranton and Lorain and Elyria and Ashtabula, cities like that, Mansfield, where I grew up, and Lorain, where I lived for years, have a lot of Scranton in them, and Joe Biden has. That was Joe Biden's most informative years, and that's why he thinks the way he does. And I mean, I think he's by far the most pro-worker president in my lifetime, and I think that comes from growing up in Elyria East in Scranton, Pennsylvania, if I could say it that way.
Right. Let's talk about the what's going on with the Ukraine. If we could talk a little bit about that. It's
sure.
Entering the third week right now. Still have the sanctions going on, pressure growing on the U.S. and NATO to do more than curb the violence. How do you think what do you think the next steps are going to be, or what's the talk that you hear out of Washington?
I'm in meetings again today with EU ambassadors and people that are, in the center of this and our best allies. I think two things. Putin has been shocked. I mean, I no question shocked by the courage, the resistance, the strength, and the effectiveness of the Ukrainian resistance. I mean, he did not figure that was going to happen. The second thing Putin's been shocked by is the unity, the coalition that Joe Biden has put together, not just France and Germany, France and England and Belgium and Netherlands and countries like that, but countries that have not come to the fore since World War II, Germany, sending significant marks, dollars, whatever, arms and humanitarian aid, countries like Sweden and Finland, even Switzerland, which hasn't taken sides in hundreds of years, all have come to the table, and that's shocking to Putin. So even though, as Liz Cheney, the Republican member of Congress, the daughter of the former vice president, said that she complained about the Putin wing of the Republican Party, even with that, the Republicans and the former president so close to Putin, the great majority of both parties are in the same place. Senator Portman and I have worked a lot on this. It's bipartisan. It's unified. We're standing up in ways that the Russians didn't expect, and that's really, really important in this.
Some analysts say that if he takes Ukraine, he'll go for more. What do you think?
Well, I think that an analyst may have been right a week ago, but I think he knows there will be equally intense or more intense resistance if he goes into Moldova, or if he goes into Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, or Poland, then NATO comes in. I mean, NATO has been careful to keep that line. Ukraine's not in NATO, and the U.S. won't send troops into a non-NATO country and will not do flyovers in non-NATO countries in all likelihood unless there's agreement from all of us. And that's what President Biden, at the speed at which he's done the sanctions from the swift provisions of the banking system to oil now to sanctions generally, he's gone as fast as we could and bringing in our allies. And the important thing is everybody's been on the same page. So I think Putin is pretty shocked by this resistance, his going into another country. At some point, his government collapses. He, as much as an autocrat and totalitarian and madman he is, he's already seeing cracks from some of the oligarchs. And he's a very isolated, insulated, lonely creature right now, and he's he's power hungry. He's all the things that Stalin was in many ways, and killed as many people as Stalin. But he's committed war crimes, and even that has some limits.
In hindsight, should Ukraine have been part of NATO?
That's always the question people are going to ask. It's a very good question. I don't know how you can do hindsight there, because Ukraine, it was a process. I mean, after the government fell, country after country, slowly, you got to do a lot of things to get into NATO, and you got to, in terms of military, in terms of integrating your economy, all that. Ukraine wasn't in that place yet. If Ukraine had set out 10 years ago in the U.S., had wanted to do that. But if you recall, Congress wanted more assistance for Ukraine a few years ago, and President Trump refused, instead asking Ukraine to help them get dirt on Hunter and Joe Biden. That's what Trump was impeached for. That's why Republicans, for the first time in history, the opposition party or the party of the president, voted for impeachment. So clearly that delayed the support. I mean, Ukraine was a weaker nation to defend himself because President Trump was playing politics there and not willing to do what he needed to do to protect Ukraine, in large part because President Trump was so close to Putin. And that's behind us now, but there are people still in the party that are Trump loyalists that still are much too close to Putin, including a few in the Senate. But the good news is almost all of us joined Senator Portman and I in both parties to stand up to Putin. We know the war criminal he is, and there's just no debate on that among rational people anymore.
That's good. Senator Sherrod Brown, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for
good.
Sharing
we'll
with us.
Good, we'll do it. Sorry for the length of the answer. Thanks.
No,
all right, thanks, folks.